Tonight, there was a very scary situation that unfolded on Monday Night Football. And during Monday Night Raw tonight, it was hard to pay attention to what was going on, just the constant flipping back and forth between the two shows. And to see what happened is very scary. It's a very scary situation. And there have been situations in pro wrestling over the years that have been scary in a very similar way. For those of you who are not aware, and I'm sure if you're on social media, you probably heard about this if you weren't actually watching the game at the time. But there was a player, Damar Hamlin, who took a hit. It didn't seem like anything out of the ordinary, and got up from that hit and then promptly fell backwards and collapsed. And the last update that we have on him and to put things in perspective as far as how serious a situation it is, you have a Monday Night Football game, a very important Monday Night Football game, that was suspended. They did not play anymore after that. It took a while, and good on the NFL for that, but there was no other decision to make. But they ended the game, and they're going to have to work that out. Obviously, that's not the most important thing right now, but the last update was on him is that he was intubated, and he is in critical condition. And it would be an awful situation no matter who it is, but, you know, you have this kid who's, you know, 24 years old, his mother is in the crowd watching him play, and then for something like that to happen, it's a very, very scary situation. And to be perfectly honest with you, you know, when you see all the players on the field crowding around him in the way that they were performing hardcore CPR on this kid. And the first thing that it reminded me of was Misawa. I believe it was back in 2009 when he took a move in the ring that just didn't seem like anything out of the ordinary. He took a back suplex. In his case, he had taken so much punishment in the ring over the years, it was just that one move was sort of the straw that broke the camel's back. But he took a relatively simple move and was laid out and wasn't moving. And I will never forget, you know, when I saw that footage, of all the wrestlers in the ring, the people in the match, people came out from the back, crowding around him while they, you know, medics performed CPR on him in the middle of the ring. And you knew it wasn't a good situation. And just the look on the wrestlers' faces, the looks on those players' faces on the field reminded me of that. It's very, very eerie. So that's the last update. It was hard to concentrate on anything else because honestly, you know, a lot of the stuff we saw tonight just didn't feel significant by comparison, but hopefully there is some good news to come out of this. This situation is not sounding good, unfortunately. But the Misawa thing is honestly, again, from the looks on their faces on the field, that's the first thing I thought of. And hopefully this works out better than that. So thoughts are with him. And his family, and supposedly there'll be some sort of update tonight. He was rushed off the field via ambulance to the hospital, which is where he is now. So hopefully there's a happy ending, or as happy an ending as possible, as far as that situation is concerned. But there was a wrestling show tonight. This was the first Raw of the year. And with Royal Rumble season upon us, and the fact that we had no Raw last week. Last Monday was a highlight show, a best of show. So we had a 2-week break. And they hyped the show up pretty hard. You know, first Raw of the new year, 2 championship matches, the U.S. title on the line, the Raw women's title on the line. I was expecting more than what we got. Honestly, overall, I thought this was a pretty run of the mill show with an excellent main event. I do want to point that out, that Seth Rollins and Austin Theory had an excellent main event for the U.S. title. But again, Royal Rumble is only a few weeks away, and the biggest Royal Rumble development that we had on the show tonight was the announcement that Hardy is going to be performing live. Not the Hardy that I think most people would want to see. It certainly wasn't Hardy the Horse. That was the biggest announcement. Some guy is going to be singing a song at the Royal Rumble. He's called Hardy. I've never heard of this guy before. Maybe I'm out of the loop on this. I guess I'm out to lunch. I've never heard of this Hardy person before. I didn't even know he existed. But apparently we have a third Hardy brother. That was the biggest Royal Rumble development of the night. the invasion of the Bloodline. The Bloodline took over the show. Very chaotic at the beginning of the show tonight. We had the Bloodline show up. They're wreaking havoc, and they're throwing security guards around. Adam Pearce came out, and Adam Pearce told the members of the Bloodline, he said, you guys are going to be in matches tonight. That was their punishment, right? Oh, you're not getting away. You're going to have matches tonight. Boy, he sure showed them, didn't he? They went out there. They won all of their matches. Boy, I'm sure he taught them a real big lesson tonight, didn't he? This is not the first time that we have seen a Bloodline invasion of Monday Night Raw. Of course, Roman Reigns is never around for this. It's always Sami Zayn, Solo Sikoa, the Usos, Paul Heyman occasionally, maybe. No Roman Reigns. But this is not the first time that we've seen the Bloodline wreaking havoc and terrorizing people and coming out of the crowd and attacking people on this show. And it has me wondering. A thought did occur to me, and I mentioned this in the chat, and I throw this out to you. We have been hearing about the possibility that WWE could be creating a new championship. This is something that was mentioned in The Observer this past week. Meltzer mentioned the fact that WWE is very seriously considering creating a brand new title for Monday Night Raw because Monday Night Raw currently has no top championship. The U.S. title is the de facto top title on Monday Night Raw. Roman Reigns is still the unified, undisputed champion, right? WWE champion, universal champion. So that was a big item that was in The Observer this past week. There's been talk of them creating this new championship. I could envision a situation where Adam Pearce says, enough is enough. And if the Bloodline doesn't stop with all these attacks, one of the consequences of that could very well be that Adam Pearce and WWE officials strip Roman Reigns of one of his championships. And that, of course, would be the WWE title, because the WWE title is supposed to belong to Monday Night Raw. The so-called legacy title here, as far as Roman's reign is concerned, is the Universal title. That's the title that he's been holding for 840-some-odd days. So if he was going to get stripped of anything, it would be the WWE title. And I admit, that would be a pretty lame way, I think, to get the title off of him. But as we've talked about before, they have painted themselves into a corner, right? It would be much better to have the championship, one of them, off of Roman Reigns. Let him go off and defend the Universal title, and the WWE title can be, you know, defended on the Monday Night Raw side. But here we are now, heading into the Rumble and WrestleMania season, and the titles are still unified. There is no need to create another championship. If that is true, if what was in The Observer this past week has any legitimacy to it at all, there is no need to create a new champion. You should just find a way to get one of the titles off Roman Reigns. This could be a way to do it. Again, not the most ideal way. Kind of lame. But I just put that out there. With all these Bloodline attacks, perhaps it's going to lead to something that could be something that it leads to. And that would solve one of their problems, which they shouldn't be in this situation to begin with. This should have been solved months ago. But here we are. But we had a U.S. title match tonight between Seth Rollins and Austin Theory. An excellent main event. Austin Theory still the United States champion. Bianca Belair defended her Raw Women's Championship against Alexa Bliss. And Bianca is still the champion, defended it in her hometown tonight. But there was some character developments with Alexa Bliss at the end of that match. Clearly, this is not the end of their program. It is going to extend, although they haven't announced this officially, it's going to clearly extend into the Royal Rumble later this month. But maybe my favorite part of the entire show, outside of the main event, which was, again, an excellent match, but probably my favorite part of the entire show is that prison has hardened Dominic Mysterio. Take a look at this guy. This is the new Dominic Mysterio, right? Just out from behind bars. He's a new man. This is what prison does to a guy. Comes out with the toothpick, looking like a bootleg Razor Ramon here, with the toothpick in his mouth. He had a little vignette with Dominic. This was easily one of my favorite things on the entire show. I think this is great. But when this show was over, as a whole, I just thought, man, this was the big show that they were kind of promoting for the last couple of weeks, right? Big first Raw of the new year. Didn't feel like a very special show to me. This is your Monday Night Raw review for January 2nd, 2023, the very first Monday Night Raw review of the new year. I am the Solid Monster. Thank you again for a great 2022. Here's to an even better 2023. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for choosing me for your Raw coverage tonight. So the first Raw of the new year opened with the Bloodline interrupting the Raw intro video. There was an abrupt cut in the video, and they cut live to ringside, and we saw the members, all but Roman, all the members of the Bloodline, they were wreaking havoc. They were throwing around security guards, overturning the announce desk like they thought they were they thought they were the Nexus from 2010. Sami Zayn looked into the camera. He said that the Bloodline runs this show. That brought out Kevin Owens, who walked out with a microphone in his hand and a shiner on his face from the, I believe it was a clothesline. I think it was a clothesline to the eye that he took from Roman Reigns on SmackDown on Friday night. Perhaps that was a receipt for Kevin Owens busting Roman's eardrum in the War Games match. I'm sure Roman would deny it, but it's what happens. You know, you potato somebody, somebody catches a live round, and there's always a receipt. For example, Ricochet probably put a bunch of stitches in Walter's head on SmackDown on Friday night with a chair shot that came a little too close. I would not want to be Ricochet when Walter gets his receipt. I'll just say that. But Kevin Owens came out, and Sammy told Owens that it was a hostile takeover. He said people were going to get hurt, said Owens was to blame, and Owens said that after hearing Sammy, he just wanted to punch him in the face. And Owens was starting to make his way down to the ring. Adam Pearce came out with security, and Pearce told Owens to stop, kept yelling at him to stop, said the Bloodline has done this for far too long. He said it's not happening anymore, and he told security guards to remove them from the ring. When they got into the ring, Solo Sikoa was in the ring, and he just kept throwing them around, throwing the bodies around in the ring. Finally, the locker room spills out. We have Shelton Benjamin, Cedric Alexander, the Street Profits, Mustafa Ali, Luke Gallows, of course, no Karl Anderson because he's over in Japan, getting ready for a big title defense on Wednesday. And for those who don't know, AJ Styles suffered a broken ankle last week at one of the live events, so he's going to be out for a few months. So Luke Gallows, the OC for this week is down to Luke Gallows and Meechin, which is now officially Mia Yim's name. They did not mention Mia Yim at all tonight. Now she's just Meechin. So it's no longer a nickname. That is her new name. So that is the OC this week. The OC is Luke Gallows and Meechin. So they all ran out. They cleared the Bloodline from the ring, and the Bloodline bailed into the crowd. Pierce told them to stop. He said, no. You're not getting away that easily. And he said he was going to book all of them in matches tonight. So it was a chaotic start to the show, which is a different change of pace from usual. So I thought that was a positive. I thought it was a good way to open the show and try to keep people from tuning out. Because, you know, again, it's bowl season. Obviously, there's Monday Night Football tonight. There was something else going on Monday Night Football that probably had people's attention. But I thought this was an effective way to open the show. After the break, the roster was in the back. They were bitching about the Bloodline, and Adam Pearce was there with them. Kevin Owens and the Street Profits told him that they wanted matches against them tonight. Elias was there. Oh, joy. Elias was back. And Elias said that he wanted Solo Sikoa, who put him out a few weeks ago. So Adam Pearce booked Elias in a Music City street fight, since they were in Nashville, against Solo Sikoa, and he booked a six-man tag, the Usos and Sami Zayn, against the Street Profits and Kevin Owens. So then they cut back to the crowd, and this is where they introduced us to Hardy. And Hardy is going to be performing live at the Royal Rumble, we were told. So there you go. Again, there's so many Hardys, it's hard to keep track. I ate one set of Hardys. They don't have too many of those here in New York, but I thought the food was okay. You know, it's fast food crap, but Hardy will be at the Royal Rumble, for those of you who are interested. We had our first of two championship matches tonight. Bianca Belair defending her Raw Women's Championship against Alexa Bliss. Bliss charged at Bianca at the beginning of the match, and Bianca just put her hand out, to block her. So you got to picture this, right? Alexa Bliss tries to come at Bianca Belair, and Bianca sticks her hand out and blocks Alexa's head as Alexa is just waving her arms around and swinging wildly. She looked like a cartoon character in this ring. You do know what that's from. They took that from a scene in one of the Scary Movie. I think it was one of the sequels. But they took that from one of the scenes in Scary Movie. That's what they did. They replicated that here in the opening of this match. So Bliss came back with a dropkick to Bianca's back, and that sent Bianca out of the ring. Alexa went for a sliding dropkick under the rope, but Bianca caught her and ended up swinging her into the barricade headfirst, heading into the commercial break. And I always wince when they have Alexa taking one of those bumps because she's, you know, prone to concussions. She has a history of concussions. She also has a history of broken noses. And she ended up getting a bloody nose in this match. So for her sake, hopefully it's not broken. But she definitely, I didn't see how it happened, but she turned around at one point. There it was. Her nose was all bloody. So Bianca dominated coming out of the break. She charged at Bliss, who moved, and that led to Bianca posting herself shoulder first into the corner. Bliss again had a bloody nose, and Bianca ended up on the floor. Alexa then hit the slowest moving senton I think I've ever seen. It looked like she was moving in slow motion. But not only that, when she landed awkwardly on her knees, almost like they bent behind her. She was okay. She's very lucky that she was okay. Because at first I said, ooh, I hope she didn't tear out her knee. But she was fine. After a break, Bliss elbowed her way out of a KOD attempt, but Bianca came back with a backbreaker. They spilled outside, and there was a fan in the crowd wearing one of the Uncle Howdy masks. Now, it's, again, whether you want to call it an Uncle Howdy mask or not, it's the mask that Bray Wyatt was wearing when he returned at Extreme Rules back in October. And it's also the mask that you see when these videos pop up, the Uncle Howdy videos. It's not the actual mask that Uncle Howdy wears, you know, the latex thing that he wears over his face. But this guy was in the crowd. He was wearing an Uncle Howdy mask, and Alexa was greatly distracted by this. She was greatly distracted by this. She was staring at this guy. She pulled herself away. She jumped up on the apron. And she's climbing up top. She's going to hit her finish, right? She's going to get ready to hit Twisted Bliss. Then she gazes into the crowd, and in the front, and I don't know if it was the same fan who just moved into a different spot or if it was a second person, but there he is again. In the front row, you got a fan with the Uncle Howdy mask. And again, Alexa is distracted by this. So now she climbs down from the top rope, and we see the Wyatt logo, the Bray Wyatt moth logo, flashing on the Titantron a couple of times. And every time it pops up on the Titantron, Alexa, she's has this fit. Like, she grabs her head, like, you know, she has a headache or something, and she's freaking out. And then all of a sudden, she looks up, she runs over, charges at the referee, Sean Bennett. Basically, she tackles him to the ground, and she starts raining blows down upon the referee. So, this clearly was a disqualification. According to Corey Graves, we never heard a bell. There was never a bell, there was never an announcement, but Corey Graves said that obviously she just disqualified herself. Bliss ran Bianca into the ring post a couple of times outside before finally DDTing her on the flat part of the ring steps. And Bianca came up with blood dripping down her chin. We got enough color in this match that Jon Moxley's ears, wherever he may be, his ears are ringing. Probably back in Cincinnati, right? I know he and Renee used to live out in Las Vegas. I think they moved back to Cincinnati. Somewhere, wherever he is. Maybe he's gardening in his backyard. I don't know why you would be gardening at 8 o'clock at night, but his ears started ringing, right? He smelled blood. We've already had more blood on these WWE shows this year, I think, than we had in the entire month of December. So Alexa went to go leave. Then she walked back. She gave Bianca a second DDT, again on the flat part of the ring steps. She went to go leave this time. And the fans in Nashville, right? This is Bianca Belair's hometown. The fans in Nashville were so upset by this, by what they had seen Alexa Bliss do to their hometown hero, that a small contingent, but nonetheless, a contingent of fans in the crowd chanted, "One more time." But Alexa went to the back. She passed by the officials as they were rolling a gurney out to the ring, and they cut to commercial. The finish was lame. All right, the finish of the match was fucking lame. But this match was not about the action. It was not about the outcome. This was about character development for Alexa Bliss and this story that they're doing with her. And clearly this was meant to build to a rematch, the proper match, at the Royal Rumble. These two are going to have a rematch at the Royal Rumble for the championship. That's really what this was the setup for. You know, was it a heel turn? It felt like a heel turn. But whether it ends up being a heel turn or not, this is the darker side of Alexa now, right? We've been seeing teases of it for months, ever since Bray came back. But that is what they are. That is what they are teasing. And so the Bray Wyatt stuff continues to slowly play itself out on SmackDown and on Raw in the form of Alexa Bliss here. I hope the plan is not simply for Alexa to revert back to the same persona that she had previously. The same dark Alexa stuff that we saw previously when she was doing the stuff with Bray Wyatt. Alexa Bliss is absolutely overdue for a character change. Heel turn, character change, whatever. Attitude adjustment, call it whatever you want. She has been completely stale, like white bread stale, since she came back. And they gave her the new music and everything. She's like a shell of what she used to be. Personality-wise, you know, she comes out and she smiles like every other baby face. So Alexa Bliss was due for some sort of character makeover here. So that's the good news. But again, I don't want to see them just go back to the same Alexa shit that we had before. To me, that would be lame and that would be lazy. But if anybody was in need of a character shift, it was Alexa Bliss. So after the break, they showed Bianca's husband, Montez Ford. He came out to help Bianca to the back. Austin Theory was in the back, our United States champion. And he was interviewed by Kathy Kelly, said that his confidence was at an all-time high. He said 2022 was his year, 2023 will be his as well. And he looked in the camera and said, "Not too bad for a kid, huh, Seth?" In the ring, Elias was introduced. He was sitting on his stool. He was getting ready to play his guitar. And he was going to play us a song. He was interrupted by Solo Sikoa's entrance music. Thank you, Solo. Thank you very much. Yeah, I just realized I am color coordinated here with Rhea and Dominic in the artwork. I swear I didn't do that on purpose. I just noticed that. Does that make me part of the Judgment Day? So we had Elias and Solo Sikoa in a Music City street fight. They had guitars, they had drums, they had a keyboard, they had tambourines, they had a piano. A piano was sitting at ringside. They had other instruments around the ring. They had instruments on stage. Fifth member of the Judgment Day? Hey, that works for me. Anybody messes with me, I'll let Rhea kick their ass, that's all. Kick my ass. So Elias smashed a cowbell over Solo Sikoa's head out on the floor. More cowbell. Elias swung a guitar at Solo, who ducked it. So he smashed the guitar against the ring post. He tossed Solo into the drum kit that was set up on the floor. And Elias picked up one of the cymbals that was there and hit Sikoa with it, which caused him to tumble into the timekeeper's area. That took us into the commercial break. So the brawl continued at ringside. Elias took a keyboard, and he slammed it over Solo Sikoa's back. Elias hit a couple of splashes in the corner. He put Sikoa down with a spinebuster. And it was around this point in the match that our esteemed play-by-play announcer for Monday Night Raw, Mr. Kevin Patrick, made a very interesting observation here during this match. Because there was a part in this match where Solo Sikoa hit a very simple belly-to-belly suplex, which Kevin Patrick referred to as the spinning Solo. which I can tell you, it is most definitely not the spinning solo. But according to Kevin Patrick, that's what it was. So Elias beat on solo with a tambourine, and he slammed the keyboard again over his back, and there was blood here too. I don't know if it was his back. There was some blood on the side of Solo's face. I don't think it came from his face, though. So back-to-back matches with blood here in 2023. Elias picked up a broken guitar, and then he spotted Hardy in the crowd holding a perfectly pristine guitar. So he goes over to Hardy. He retrieves the guitar. It's back in the ring. Solo, though, catches him with a super kick. Hardy then got into the ring. Now, why he wasn't tackled by security is a question that I think needs to be asked, because this guy is not part of the show. He is not a wrestler. He has no business running into the ring. The security staff should have tackled him, maced him, or otherwise subdued him, but they did not do that. And they allowed this man to get into the ring, and he had a guitar. He smashed the guitar across Solo Sikoa's back. Solo Sikoa no-sold it. It just looked like it pissed him off. And he slowly turned around to look at Hardy, and Hardy, he kind of smiled, and he bailed out to the floor. Smart man. So Elias hit Sikoa with a flying knee strike, though, when he turned around. And then he went up top with the broken guitar. He came off the top rope. He has the broken guitar in his hand. As he jumps off the top rope, Solo catches him with the Samoan spike to the throat on the way down. And then with Elias on the apron, Solo gave him a spinning solo onto the piano, the top of the piano at ringside. And then he went outside and he pinned him on top of the piano. He pinned him to win the street fight. After the match, I love how after the match, Solo is looking for Hardy. He was looking out into the crowd. He wanted to go after this guy. He couldn't find him. And he stood over Elias to close out the segment. So I like that they kept Solo Sikoa strong. They kept him looking like a badass here. I love how he no-sold the guitar shot. And I actually thought the finish with him doing the spinning solo on the piano was a cool finish. So I thought it accomplished what it needed to. This was not about Elias. This was about continuing to build Solo Sikoa, who remains undefeated. He has yet to be pinned. I don't know if he's lost by DQ yet or not. I feel like he may have to Drew McIntyre on SmackDown right after he got called up, but he has yet to be pinned. And they have done a very good job of making him the ass-kicking enforcer. One of the positives that Triple H has done. One of the many positives, but definitely one of the positives of the Triple H regime so far. We had Kevin Owens and the Street Profits taking on Sami Zayn and the Usos. They tried telling a story here that Montez Ford was distracted by what happened to his wife earlier in the show. He's very concerned about Bianca Belair, so his focus was not on his partners. His focus was not on this match. I had one person tweet me saying, oh, I think they're teasing a Montez Ford heel turn. That is not how I read this at all. The man was concerned about what happened to his wife. He wanted to get backstage and check up on her. This was not a sign of anything but that. So at one point, Owens tried to tag in Montez Ford. And so Louie in the chat says, I looked up who Hardy was. He is a country singer. Dude is not even that well known. He's so well known, I never heard of him before. But I'm not into country music, so maybe he's big in the country music world. I don't know. This is the first I've ever heard of this guy. They're talking about him like it's a big deal. We got Hardy at the Royal Rumble. I'm like, which one? I thought they were signed to AEW. Which Hardy are we talking about here? It's ridiculous. Anyway. Owens tried to tag in Montez Ford at one point, but again, he had a distant look in his eyes. His mind was on other matters. And the bloodline overwhelmed Owens, and they took over. Ford was still in his own little world as Owens later on went for a tag, so he slapped him to tag him into the match. And that fired up Montez Ford, and he went crazy. He gave Sami Zayn a frog splash. Jey Uso broke it up. Angelo Dawkins tackled Jey outside on the floor. Ford wiped out Jimmy and Sami with a flip dive out of the ring. Solo Sikoa then marched back out to the ring. He came out through the crowd. Here he is again, the ass kicker of the bloodline. Solo Sikoa is back. And he knocked out Angelo Dawkins. Owens went after Sikoa, but Jey Uso caught Owens with a super kick. Montez Ford knocked Jimmy off the apron, but the distraction allowed Sammy to connect with a Huluva kick. And he scored the pinfall for the win. So, a redeeming win for Sami Zayn, who took the pinfall on SmackDown on Friday, if you remember, in the main event. So tonight, he was able to win the match for his team. The Bloodline were about to continue their assault on the babyfaces when out comes Drew McIntyre and Sheamus from SmackDown. This was the crossover with SmackDown to promote the tag team title match on Friday. It's going to be Sheamus and McIntyre against the Usos. So they came out. They ended up beating up the Bloodline, ran them off, and so there you go. There's your crossover between brands here to kick off 2023. We had Chad Gable one-on-one with Dexter Lumis. I honestly, again, my mind was on other things here. The last thing on my mind was fucking Dexter Lumis against Chad Gable. But from what I saw of this match as I was flipping back and forth, the crowd did not give a shit about any of this. The crowd was stone-cold silent for this match. And there was no Miz. There was no Bronson Reed. If you remember when we had the debut of Bronson Reed at the end of that ladder match a couple of weeks ago, they screwed Dexter Lumis out of a win. I thought they might make an appearance here, but they did not come out. We did get a Bronson Reed video package later on in the show, so at least he got that. But this was a win for Lumis over Chad Gable. And like I said, the crowd was dead during this. Now, there was a quote from Corey Graves during this match. Corey Graves said, "I don't know what to make of Dexter Lumis." Evidently, neither did any of the people in the crowd tonight. Because we still haven't heard from him. There has been nothing. You know, again, I mean, if you didn't know about his history from NXT, you would just look at this guy and go, what's this guy's deal? Who is he? Where is he from? What's he about? Does he speak? Is he a heel? Is he a baby fan? What is this guy supposed to be? We still have absolutely no knowledge of why Dexter Lumis is here, who he is, and what he sounds like or anything like that. So it's not surprising that the crowd would be silent and would sit on their hands during one of his matches. They aired a Cody Rhodes video. This was the first in what we were told is going to be a series of videos. This was part one. And he talked about returning to WrestleMania last year, talked about it being another shot at the dream that, the first dream that he ever had. They aired clips of Dusty Rhodes and Cody talking about his desire to win the WWE Championship. Of course, his father never did. He told that story on Raw after his WrestleMania return last year. So the video included footage of Cody beating Seth Rollins at Hell in a Cell with the torn pec, right? That's how the video ended. So the journey back begins. This was part one. We're going to be getting a lot of these. This was just part one. And for anybody wondering, is Cody going to be back in time for the Royal Rumble? They wouldn't be airing this video if he was not going to be back in time for the Royal Rumble. I expect that at the end of these videos, in the next few weeks, it will end with him declaring himself for the Royal Rumble match. But they would not be airing these videos now if they did not know that he is cleared and ready to come back. This is not for WrestleMania. This is not for Elimination Chamber. This is for the Royal Rumble. And I, like I said, I believe at the end of these videos, whether it's 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, it will culminate with him announcing himself for the 30-man Royal Rumble match. I've made it very clear what I think his path to WrestleMania should be. But I guess a lot of that depends on what's going on with The Rock. We don't know if The Rock has committed himself. Well, guess what? If Dwayne Johnson has not given Triple H an answer yet, as far as what he's doing for WrestleMania, he's got about 2 weeks. So if he has not already informed WWE what he is doing, he's got 2 weeks to let them know because Triple H has a WrestleMania to begin to book. So we should have our answer very soon about whether or not The Rock is going to be at WrestleMania. One of the predictions I made on the Prediction Podcast yesterday, episode 789, if you missed it, go back and listen, is that I don't think The Rock is going to be at WrestleMania in a match. I think ultimately he's going to say, you know what, I decline. Just the feeling I have. And if that's the case, all roads lead to Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns at WrestleMania 39. If The Rock is going to wrestle, then everything's up in the air. Now there's rumors that Cody Rhodes against John Cena was, at one point when Vince McMahon was still in charge, was a direction being considered for WrestleMania next year. John Cena against Cody Rhodes. It would be a big match. I can't say it's a match that I would like to see over what Cody should be doing at WrestleMania, because I think there's a better story to tell with him. But all of this should become clear in the weeks ahead. Right now, we're still not sure what's going on. A lot of it has to do with The Rock. In the back, Damage Control was on their way to the ring, and behind them, in the background, we could see Adam Pearce talking to MVP, and with MVP, he had Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin. A little breadcrumb planted. So the Hurt Business is likely on its way back, which is great, because it ended prematurely. And I think when Bobby Lashley does come, but we haven't seen Bobby Lashley in a few weeks. When Bobby Lashley does come back, I think it'll be as part of a reunited Hurt Business. That was just a little hint, a little tease of what's to come. I actually thought we might see it at the end of the main event tonight. I was kind of surprised we didn't get it at the end of the show. But Damage Control was out next for an in-ring promo, and Bayley was talking about beating Becky Lynch on TV. Becky came out. She called Bayley a fraud. She said it took Bayley years to get out of somebody's shadow. It only took her a year to pull her right back there. And she said that she remembers calling Io Sky and Dakota Kai lackeys for Bayley. But she said, actually, it's the other way around. And she said that Sky and Kai do the hard work, and it's only a matter of time before someone turns on someone else. Well, no shit. I mean, it's wrestling. Everybody turns on everybody. How long before Corey Graves turns on Kevin Patrick for calling a belly-to-belly suplex a spinning solo, right? I mean, Corey can only take so much. So Bayley said that Becky was just upset because she lost. Becky said that she doesn't get mad when she loses. She gets better. She said that Bayley made a good point, though, when she said it all started in Nashville, which is true. It was Nashville last year at SummerSlam. That's when Bayley walked out with Dakota Kai and Io Sky for the first time, and Bayley made her return. The birth of Damage Control was in Nashville at SummerSlam last July. She said that they could end it in Nashville tonight. Bayley laughed, and she said, well, I've already beaten you fair and square. She said that since Becky has an obsession with Dakota and Io, she should find a partner and take them on. And Becky said that she didn't have her phone with her, but she would take her chances two on one. So we got what started out here as a handicap match. Champions were getting the better of Becky for a while. Finally, we hear Mia Yim's entrance music. And down to the ring comes Mia Yim to be Becky's partner. Late in the match, Mia had the pin. Bayley, though, put Dakota's foot on the bottom rope. And Becky attacked Bayley. Mia then hit Soul Food on Dakota Kai. And Io Sky had blind tagged into the match. She hit her moonsault onto Mia and pinned her. As I said earlier, the name Mia Yim was never mentioned. It looks like Mia Yim is no more. It looks like now she is officially Meechin. Because I guess she wants to make sure she can still be Mia Yim if and when she ever leaves WWE. Which, look, is not a terrible thing. It's completely understandable. But it looked like they were going to use both names at first. Now it doesn't look like that's the case. But Becky couldn't believe it. She couldn't believe that they lost. And it's understandable because her partner, who was fresh, came in about, you know, midway through the match, and they still lost. So, yes, I would be very frustrated over that as well. The one good thing about this, the tag team champions did not lose. At least Dakota and Io, they're the champs, right? At least they won the match. So that's progress. Backstage, Byron Saxton caught up with Alexa Bliss, who had dried blood under her nose. He asked her about losing control earlier, and Bliss said, I lost control. She said, no. She says, I gained control over Bianca's headspace. And now she knows that the only threat is really me, and that Raw Women's Championship actually belongs to me. So there you go. There's your setup for the rematch at the Royal Rumble. Footage aired of my boy, Dominic Mysterio. There he is. He's a new man. Well, first they showed footage of what happened on Christmas at Dom's grandfather's house when he got arrested. So now he's been bailed out. He is no longer behind bars. He is no longer serving hard time. But he says, I served hard time. He said, prison changes a man. And he said, people might think it's over for him, but he's just getting started. This was great. This was great. Go all the way with it. All the cheesiness of it. Just go all the way with it. I love it. Corey Graves said that Dominic's got street cred now. I think this is hilarious. I love it. I never would have expected that I'd be sitting here telling you that one of my favorite performers on Monday Night Raw was Dominic Mysterio. But here we are. I love it. Main event on this show was Austin Theory defending the United States Championship against Seth Rollins. We pick things up here midway through the match. Rollins hit a superplex, went to go transition into a Falcon Arrow. We've seen him do that spot a million times. But Theory had him scouted. He beat him to it, hit a neck breaker for two. They traded strikes until both men went down. And they got back up. Rollins went for the curb stomp, but his knee gave out. Because there was a spot in the match a little bit earlier where it looked like the way he landed outside the ring, he was selling a possible knee injury. Selling it well enough that at first I thought he might have actually hurt his knee. But it was part of the story of the match. So when he went for the curb stomp, as he was coming in, he couldn't. You know, his knee gave out on him. Theory went outside. He grabbed the U.S. title. And he was about to bail. He goes, I don't want any more of this. Right? He's gonna leave through the crowd. Rollins chased after him, and Theory tried to hit him with the belt. Rollins hit a super kick, though, and then hit a frog splash, got a very close near fall out of it. The people were into this. The people were very quiet for a lot of things on this show, but they were up for the main event here. Theory shoved Rollins into the referee, though, by mistake, and the referee went down. We got the ref bump. Another reason why I figured, okay, something is happening here. Someone is coming out. Something is going down. They have some big angle planned. That's what I thought. Referee goes down. Rollins hits a pedigree. There's no referee, though. Here comes a second referee down to the ring. Second ref comes down to count the fall, but Theory kicks out at 2.5. So Theory almost ends up shoving Rollins into the second referee, but he stops himself, and the referee shields himself, so they avoid contact. But as the referee is looking away, Theory gives Rollins a low blow from behind. And then he follows up with a chop block to the injured knee, hits A-Town down for the pinfall win. And Austin Theory is still your United States champion. No big appearance when the match was over. There was no big angle that they shot here at the end of this. What we got here was an excellent main event in ring. Seth Rollins out there delivering yet another banger, as we've seen him do time after time after time. But give credit to Austin Theory as well. Austin Theory has put together a very impressive resume himself of television matches over the past 6 to 9 months. And when he goes out there and has matches like this, you know, again, his credibility goes up a little bit. Now, yeah, he cheated. He used a low blow. But he goes out there and the guy can work. And working against people like Seth Rollins is only going to allow him to get better and to up his game. So for him, this was a great night. Not just because he won, but because, again, he's getting to go out there and work with one of the best workers, not only in the company, but in the business right now, is Seth Rollins. So it was. If you were looking for a great main event, that's what you got here. But I was very surprised. I thought we were going to get some kind of angle. I was thinking with that little Hurt Business tease, it was a sign that Bobby Lashley was going to show up and we'd get a reunion at the end of the show. The last time we saw Bobby Lashley, he was feuding with these two men. He was feuding over the United States Championship. But then we ended up getting nothing, and I said, well, you know, for the first big Raw, well, the first Raw, first Raw period of the new year, and a show that they were, you know, hyping up pretty good, it was kind of deflating when the show was over because there was no big angle for the Royal Rumble or anything like that. And so that was the end of what I thought overall was a pretty, you know, pretty largely uneventful show with a very good main event. And that was the story of Monday Night Raw tonight. And the story of Monday Night Raw, according to all of you, is 50% thumbs up, 28% thumbs in the middle, and 21% thumbs down. So please go ahead and vote. You guys know the drill. You guys know where to go. At Solomonster. That is the place to go for that. Let me just mention here before we get into the Super Chats that Wednesday is Wrestle Kingdom 17. And it is also a very big episode, the first episode of the year of AEW Dynamite from Seattle. So it's going to be a big day of wrestling. I will keep you guys posted on when I will be live with the Wrestle Kingdom review because I'm not watching it until, you know, late morning. So if I do go live on Wednesday during the day, it wouldn't be until like probably mid to late afternoon. And then live again that night for the Dynamite review. It's going to be a big show. Obviously, we know about the Mercedes stuff. Now there's rumors that Naomi is in Japan. Although I think Naomi is only there just to kind of support her friend. I don't know that Naomi is there to make an appearance like Sasha is. But there's a lot of buzz around this Wrestle Kingdom show. And you talk about an excellent main event on Raw tonight. You want some excellent matches. You're going to get some excellent matches on Wednesday. So that's going to be a big wrestling day, and I hope you will keep it right here and join me for what should be an interesting day. So let's get on into your Super Chats here. See what you guys are talking about here on this Monday night. Thank you, by the way, for all of the support on the New Year's Eve stream. It was fun to hang out. I hope you guys had fun, the ones who hung out with me on New Year's Eve. I had a blast. Right? We did some drinking. We did some predictions. We hung out. We rang in the new year together. You guys kept me company. It was a fun night. We begin here with Metal Rules with the $20 Super Chat. Am I delusional? Yes. No, I'm kidding. Am I delusional, or was there a couple of backstage skits of Edge and Christian getting a phone call from Grandma, and when it's Christian's turn to talk, she hangs up on it? I have checked the network and YouTube, but no luck. I actually remember that. I remember a lot of those Edge and Christian skits, but what happened was Edge had just won, it might have been his first Intercontinental title. And so he was in the back celebrating. And I think Christian had their grandmother on the phone. It's Grandma Edna, I think, or Esther or Edna or something like that. And she wanted to talk to Edge. So he passed the phone to Edge and they talked. And then he gave the phone back to Christian and she hung up on him. So you are not delusional. You are not drunk. You are not imagining things. I don't know what episode that was, but whatever episode Edge won the Intercontinental title, maybe it was a pay-per-view. I don't know. Maybe he won the IC title from Lance Storm or something. Maybe it was SummerSlam. I don't remember, but yes, that did happen. That did happen. Deep delicious chicken and turkey with flavor. After watching Raw tonight, I have another prediction to make. In 2023, WWE will be creatively better under Triple H, and AEW will be in trouble. It sounds like you're just describing the fall and the entire autumn season in 2022. You're just recapping the last 5 months, basically. He also says, prayers for Buffalo Bills wide receiver DeMar Hamlin. Yeah, I'm kind of curious to check and see if there's been any update on that. Brumakian Productions, your thoughts when you first saw The Undertaker? I don't remember when I first saw The Undertaker. I was probably a little... It was probably off-putting when they would zoom in on his face. I thought The Undertaker was cool when I was younger, though. That's why he ended up becoming a babyface. He was a heel, but he was so cool, people didn't want to boo him. Groovy Goose. I am disappointed that my nickname for CM Punk Stage Dive, where he got hurt, Stage Dive of Doom, never took off. You're better at naming things anyway. I am pretty good at that, aren't I? Thank you, Groovy Goose. Chris Miner, what is the best guitar shot in wrestling history? Oh, it's got to be Jeff Jarrett's guitar shot on Beetlejuice. It's got to be. Easily. After that, I would say the chair shot guitar shot that Kane gave to the Honky Tonk Man in the 2001 Royal Rumble. That would probably be number two. Mr. AJ Allday, $5 super chat. Bianca was clearly frustrated with Alexa tonight. I hope the Rumble is the end to the feud and we get Rhea and Bianca and Mania. A good main event, though. Yes, that should be, and I believe will be, the Women's Championship match at WrestleMania. It should be Bianca Belair defending against Rhea Ripley. I know that will upset someone in the chat, but that is what the match should be. Justin Jack, have you seen The Batman yet? No. Deep Delicious Chicken and Turkey says, Raw tonight was a banger to start off 2023. I would not call this show a banger. The main event was a banger. This show was not a banger. I don't know what show you were watching. It wasn't terrible, but banger is not the word I would use for it. Maybe that's what you were doing during the show. If so, good for you. Also says, originally tonight, I was going to express my opinion on Dax Harwood's comments, but after what happened on Monday Night Football, I will share my thoughts on Friday. Tyler says, let's hope that Omos is in the Performance Center. As long as he is not on my TV. Or in the ring. He could be on TV. As long as he's not in the ring, I'm okay with it. Rodimus Prime, Happy New Year. Hope 2023 is great for you. Prayers for Damar Hamlin during the difficult time. That said, besides the main event, Raw was super mid. Apparently not. Apparently Raw was a banger, if you are to be believed. Oh, I kid. I kid Deep Delicious. He knows I love him. Hyru... Hardy the horse is better than some guy named Hardy. I agree. That is the only Hardy that matters, is Hardy the horse. Still available on Amazon, but go pick up a copy. Rizzo with the $10 super chat was told by Twitter and a certain dirt sheet guy that Cody was coming back in the main event. And no Cody. Also, I saw Hardy on Raw and I wondered how the hell Triple H got the Hardys out of AEW. I don't know what dirt sheet guy you were reading about Cody being in the main event. I didn't see that. I wouldn't have believed that anyway. What sense would that make? Seth Rollins is a babyface right now. If Cody Rhodes interfered in that main event, or came out or cost him, I mean, I presume that's what you mean, that he would cost him the match, it would turn him heel. Why would they do that? Now, if you're saying that he would have come out, just walked out to make an appearance, and maybe kind of have a stare down from afar with Seth Rollins, I could see that. But no, I was not expecting Cody to actually be on the show yet. I don't know who told you that. Rizzo says, also prayers to Hamlin, such a scary incident on Monday Night Football. Iru says, Bianca is from Knoxville, not Nashville. Well, they said it was her hometown. Don't yell at me. I'm just going by what the announcer said. So apparently she's from Knoxville and not Nashville. But they were saying that it was her home state. So they consider that to be her hometown. It's like somebody being from Canada. Maybe they're from Winnipeg right? But if they're in Toronto, they'll still say, oh, they're in their home turf or homeland or whatever, home province. Aussie of Steel. With Roxanne Perez taking the title from Mandy earlier than planned, what happens at New Year's Eve? Possibly a triple threat with JC and Gigi. Yeah, I guess they would have to set it up on TV tomorrow. That's kind of what it sounds like to me. Or they challenge her to a tag team match, and then Roxanne has to find a partner. Sam Dankman Weed. Alexa Bliss equals Dollar Store Avril Lavigne. Oh. Those are fighting words. Amiibo Juice. In Puebla, Mexico, and went to my first CMLL show tonight. Tons of fun. Got to see Mystico Titan, New Japan's Yota Tsuji was also there, and Midgets. Cheers, Solomonster. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. Who is it that owns Arena Mexico? Is it CMLL or is it AAA? I thought it was CMLL. Were you at Arena Mexico or were you somewhere else? King Bling Blah, what are the odds that the Great Muta is a Royal Rumble surprise? I don't see him being a Royal Rumble surprise. I see him going into the Hall of Fame this year. Hiru, I've been underwhelmed with Johnny Gargano's main roster. Excuse me. I've been underwhelmed with Johnny Gargano's main roster run, but I hope we get a Theory versus Gargano title feud since Johnny already beat him. And Amiibo says it was Arena Puebla. Okay. But is it CMLL that? Oh, okay, so CMLL. Justin says CMLL does own Arena Mexico. I thought it was CMLL. So thank you for clarifying. James Cooper with the $4.99. Prayers up for Damar Hamlin. We're all human. Please be kind to each other. Life is too fragile and short to be angry. I think that is well said. Diego with the $4.99. The gag from the Bianca-Alexa match has been around since the beginning of time. I'm pretty sure they did not lift it from a crappy B-movie. Oh, you don't think so? They're of that age. You think that Bianca and Alexa, their age, got it from fucking Charlie Chaplin or whoever the fuck came up with it all those years ago? They absolutely could have gotten it from one of the scary movies. They're in the demographic. Come on, use your head. You think they know from that? Come on. Rizzo, good idea, Tony Khan, to bring Jeff Jarrett and a literal Karen and her drama to AEW. My God, it is like high school with her slandering innocent women. Yeah, what the hell is going on with Karen Jarrett on Twitter? She's like attacking Kurt all of a sudden and accusing him of infidelity. And where the hell did that come from? Why? Because Max Caster mentioned her in a rap on TV last week? Is that what triggered all this? You kidding me? Jarrett Jackson, I hope they eventually merge the women's titles. Be careful what you wish for. Then you'll get Charlotte Flair as the unified Raw and SmackDown Women's Champion. You know, I'm surprised they don't have Charlotte Flair go after the men's titles. You know, maybe we're looking at this wrong. You know, we talk about Roman Reigns, right? And who's going to take the titles from Roman Reigns? We're talking about Cody Rhodes or The Rock or Sami Zayn. I think we're looking at it all wrong. We could very well have Charlotte Flair. Why not have her be the one to dethrone the tribal chief? Why not? Give her the titles. We have a Queen of the Ring coming up this year. Give that to her too. Just give her all the titles. Louis says, new year, same old Raw. Justin Glasner with the $2 super chat. Since we are on WWE, sorry, got here fast as I could. I don't know what that means, but Justin, thank you. Jay Baker, how would you book the end game of Uncle Howdy? I don't know. I mean, the end game of Uncle, I have no idea what Bray has in mind for it. I would milk it a little bit more, do the reveal, use it as a way to bring somebody up to the main roster. And I would have Bray form his own little, basically like a new Wyatt family, you know, effectively. A faction of disciples. You know, you could have Bo Dallas in there, Cameron Grimes. That could be a way to introduce Cameron Grimes to the main roster. Maybe one or two other people. Make it interesting that way. I think that should be the end game. Angel Silva with a $4.99. Which return had the loudest pop and broke the internet the most? CM Punk's return on Rampage or Edge's return at the Royal Rumble in 2020? Without question, CM Punk's return on Rampage. It was deafening. Deafening. In Chicago that night. That return pop for CM Punk in Chicago last year, or I guess the year before, is one of the loudest of all time. And Juan Ocampo with the $1.99. Can we give Skip Bayless sad tweet on the Hamlin take? How about we say fuck Skip Bayless? How about that? I saw what he tweeted. But I just like saying fuck Skip Bayless anyway because Skip Bayless is an asshole. So hopefully we can at least all agree on that. Fuck that guy. Metal thinks that Dexter Lumis should be part of such a group with Bray Wyatt. Well, I mean, he's got the creepy vibe down. I suppose that would work. But they're going to have to, you know, flesh out his character at some point if they want people to start caring about it. That's the point I was making before with Dexter. You know, they're going to have to make it interesting with him. Right now, it's just not interesting. Between Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith, I put this question to everybody in the chat. Who do you tolerate better between the two? Because they both annoy the shit out of me. But I would take Stephen A. over Skip Bayless every day of the week and twice on Sunday. Skywalker, thank you for the $4.99. Says, with the NFL postponing tonight's game due to a player injury, is this a bad look for WWE, how they handled the Owen Hart situation? The Owen Hart situation was almost 25 years ago. So what happened tonight does not affect WWE in any way. It was a bad look for WWE when it happened. They didn't need the NFL to go postpone a major game to make them look bad. And I don't want to relitigate that whole thing. It was an impulse decision and all that. They were raked over the coals for it back then, and rightfully so. What happened tonight has no bearing on that whatsoever. Wow, Groovy Goose says Stephen A. hands down. Are you saying Stephen A. is worse or better? You're saying he's worse. See, I disagree with that. Richie says, do you think the fans will turn Charlotte Flair heel again? Absolutely. She's a natural heel. I mean, she may be a heel on TV this week. Look, she just came back. They knew that she was going to get the reaction that she got. That doesn't mean she's a babyface. We have to wait and see what they do on Friday. But yes, if she is a babyface, it's only going to last a matter of months. You know, the woman is not a babyface. So it's only a matter of time. Colin Cowherd for calling wrestling fans booger eaters. Well, there are some wrestling fans who are booger eaters. I mean, he's not wrong about that. But yeah, fuck Colin Cowherd too. You know what I love about that? When WWE made the deal with Fox to come over to Fox a few years ago, there have been a few times where Colin Cowherd has been very complimentary of wrestling all of a sudden, right? Oh, they're part of the Fox family now, the Fox Sports family. Now he's a wrestling fan. Fucking clown. Can't stand him. You could throw him in the bin with Skip. Deep Delicious, Stephen A. would be a perfect heel manager. Well, it's funny you mentioned that. There are rumors about him possibly doing just that at WrestleMania this year. So we'll have to wait and see if that's true. But he's a fan. He's talked about wanting to do it. So I think if they wanted him, I think he probably would do it. And he would be. He would be the perfect wrestling manager. The problem is, supposedly, he does. One of the rumors is that nobody would be allowed to put their hands on him. So then it's like, what's the point? Isn't the payoff that he takes a bump? Somebody smacks him and knocks him out? It's like this Tyson Fury stuff, supposedly, you know. He wants to work with WWE, but he can't lose and he can't be made to look vulnerable. Get the fuck out of here. You're not that important to this company. Get the fuck out of here. Jared Jackson. That Raw lead announcer is on borrowed time. Yes, if he isn't, then he should be. He's just not a good fit. He's not a good fit for that spot. He's just not. And I'm not talking about him, you know, using the wrong move name, right? I mean, anybody can make a mistake, right? I make mistakes. But just his voice, his enthusiasm level, the way he calls some of the big spots, he's not the guy for that role. So I agree with you. I think Triple H is not going to make a move yet because I think it would be an admission that he was wrong in the move that he made. He's going to give him a chance to improve and see if things get better. But I'd be very surprised if we get to the end of this year, to the year mark, right, where they put him in that chair, if he's still the lead announcer on Raw. When we get to the season premiere of Monday Night Raw later in the year, I think we'll have a different voice in that chair. But Pat McAfee, that's right, Pat McAfee should be coming back very soon. I saw him on College Game Day this morning. When I was at the gym, they had College Game Day on TV. And there was Pat, he was in a suit. No tie, but he had his suit on. And it reminded me, I said, hey, I forgot about Pat. Pat should be back soon. But Wade Barrett has done a very good job. I will miss Wade on SmackDown. I guess that means Booker T is going to go bye-bye when Wade goes back to NXT. Anyway, like I said, a little distracted tonight by what was going on with the NFL stuff. Very sad to see that happen to anybody, let alone a 24-year-old kid in the early stages of his career and his mom being there. It's just an awful situation. And again, it's a critical situation, but hopefully he'll be able to pull through. And I'll be very curious to see what they announce tomorrow. Apparently they're not giving any updates until tomorrow. Was my gym crowded this morning? You know, I expected it to be, and believe it or not, it wasn't. It wasn't as crowded as you would expect. We'll see what the rest of the week brings. But today it wasn't that bad. And Dr. Dakota Scorpio, imagine wrestling podcasters talking crap about sports stars and these so-called experts. I mean, why not? They do it to us sometimes. Thank you, Dakota. Yeah, Dustin, we talked about Cody before. It's the road to Rhodes. It's his Rhodes to the top. Tonight was the first video in the journey of Cody back to WWE, coming in to win the Royal Rumble and to go to WrestleMania to challenge for the championship. I mean, that's the story. By the way, hopefully everything looks good on your end. I am rocking a newer, much nicer camera that should be 60 frames per second, so smoother, solid, goes down smooth, does the solid monster. So hopefully, however you're watching this, whether you're on your phone or you're on your big screen TV, hopefully it looks good. So just leave some feedback and let me know. So I know that everything is looking good on your end. I was fiddling with the settings all day long to try to get it. You know, the way that I'm still not sure if it's perfected yet, but you guys will let me know. Try to upgrade some things here in the new year. Justin Logue with the $5 super chat. Would Everest be a good name for a wrestler? Give them a finisher called the Death Zone. Already been done or too tacky? I would say a little on the tacky side. Everest, though, would be a great name for a big giant. It would have to be somebody who's like 7 feet tall. BCOM, see clearly. I think Charlotte is more natural now. Alvaro Cornejo, can you predict something that you don't want to happen. Well, I did not want Charlotte to come back and win the championship as soon as she came back, and that's already out the window. I'm afraid to say it now, or else it might come true. What I really don't want is for WrestleMania to end this year, and Roman Reigns is still the champion. Not because I think Roman Reigns is a bad champion or anything, and I could see them wanting him to get to 1,000 days as champion. But if he wins, if he walks out of WrestleMania with a win this year, if he ends WrestleMania still the champion, it will be WrestleMania 37, WrestleMania 38, and WrestleMania 39. And he would be doing it, unlike Hogan in the early days, who won Mania after Mania after Mania, he would be doing it as a heel. I think that would be awful. So whether it's Cody or somebody else, I think this needs to pay off and come to an end of WrestleMania. But could I see them wanting to have him break 1,000 days, which I don't think would happen until after WrestleMania? Yeah, I could see it. I could see it. Because think about it. You know, the Cody story works. If not Cody, then who? It's not going to be Rollins. I don't think it's going to be it's not going to be Rollins or WrestleMania. Who else has been built up enough? Because it's not going to be Sami Zayn. Okay, and I don't think it's going to be Rollins. Who else has been even built up enough to be the one to take the titles from Roman? Or has a story going into it, like Cody would have that story. And Cody was super over before he got hurt. Who else is there? There's nobody else. There's nobody else. I mean, you're just going to have this thing go on indefinitely? And I know, you know, Bliss fan, I know you want Bray Wyatt, because Bray, the history there, Roman's reign started by taking the title from Bray. I know that. There is that story there. But I Bray Wyatt as the WWE Universal Champion, no. We haven't even seen him wrestle a match yet. We don't even know what he's going to look like when he gets back in the ring. I know he had those matches with Jinder Mahal at the live events. But I don't think he's the right person right now for that spot. Maybe later, but right now, it should not be Bray Wyatt. Queen Fire Panda, do I think Alexa rejoins Bray at the Royal Rumble? I think that there will be some segment or some interaction with them at the Royal Rumble, because they'll be in the same building, they'll be in the same place at the same time. So I think there'll be something. I don't think it's Alexa rejoining Bray, but I think they'll do something with it. Jared Jackson, just for taking the time to answer our questions. Here's the $1.99 from Jared. Thank you, Jared. He says, thanks from everybody. We love you, Solomon. So, well, I love you too, Jared. And I wish you a very happy new year. And Deep Delicious Chicken and Turkey. In 2023, I predict the Mets will win the NL East. Funny, your prediction matches mine. Miguel says, because of Carl Anderson and most of the members being on handshake deals, Bushiroad decided to disband Suzuki Goon. Well, that's all right. Murder Grandpa will be okay. Seth Rollins may be legit hurt. Where did you see that? Do I need to check and make sure here that Seth Rollins is not hurt? Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Let's see. Let's make sure. Let's make sure that's not the case. I'm not seeing anything, so hopefully that was just part of the story. I mean, it read to me like it was just part of the story of the match. So I guess we'll see, but I don't get the impression that he's actually hurt. King Bling Blah, Cody against Roman, Hell in a Cell, Rollins guest referee. No, it doesn't have to. It's not a match that needs Hell in a Cell. Hell in a Cell should be saved for, like, Cody and Seth in Hell in a Cell made sense. If they wanted to do Brock and Bobby in Hell in a Cell, that would make sense. There's rumors it might be Edge and Finn Balor at the Rumble in Hell in a Cell. You can make an argument for that, too. Why would Cody and Roman be inside Hell in a Cell? Cody Rhodes should never have another Hell in a Cell match. There is never going to be a performance for him inside Hell in a Cell that will match the performance that he put in last year. There's no need for it. Von Tell says, Top Dollar takes the title off of Roman. What title might that be? Because I know it's not the wrestling championships that he holds. So you must be talking about some other title. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, Bray against Roman or Wee Wyatt. I will leave now. Oh, that was bad. That was bad. I do like, again, how I am so... I didn't even plan this, but like how color-coordinated I am with the Judgment Day. Look at this. Even Damian Priest's hair is purple in this image. It's incredible. I really do. I look like the fifth member of the Judgment Day. And, Based Beerus, God of Seduction. New Jack Sting predictions for 2023 versus Darby. What? New Jack Sting predictions for 2023 ? Versus Darby? I don't know what that means. New Jack Sting? Is that some sort of new version of Sting that I'm unaware of? New Jack Sting? First, I thought you were asking me for my predictions for New Jack in 2023. I don't think New Jack's going to be doing much in 2023. James Cooper, if Moxley was still in WWE, I would have them extend it to beat Bruno and then have the Shield three-way at WrestleMania. Wait, beat Bruno? You do realize how long Bruno was champion for. You do understand how long Bruno was champion for. He's not beating Bruno. He's not beating Bruno. Hey, Not Andrew. If you're Not Andrew, then who are you? Shout out to Not Andrew. Oh, I see. Okay, Sting likes to dive off high places like New Jack, like balcony. I see. I thought you were telling me some new gimmick for Sting in 2023. He's going to come out dressed like New Jack to New Jack's old music. Start hitting people with weapons and stuff. That would be awesome if the Tribal Chief beats Bruno. No, it would not. No, it would not. Bruno was champion. Yes, Bruno was champion for like 8 years. It kind of feels like Roman's been champion for 8 years, doesn't it? And Rizzo coming in with a $5 super chat. I don't know if it's a good sign, but some Bills players have headed back to Buffalo tonight. Yeah, let's wait for any updates before we speculate on what happened here. I want to think happy thoughts, but right now we just don't know anything. And Deep Delicious Chicken and Turkey with Flavor. The big May 3rd anniversary is coming. The big May 3rd anniversary. Refresh my memory. What are we remembering on May 3rd? I have a lot of things going on in my day. I can't possibly remember all of these things. So what is the May 3rd anniversary that I need to remember? You know what? Chat. Is it Chad or Chatty? You know, I did not even notice that. Let me bring it up here. Did I forget to mention the fact that Dominic had a... See, I don't know if that's a... Is that a teardrop or is that just a like a mole that he has under his eye? Are we sure that's a teardrop tattoo that he added? I don't know. That just kind of looks to me from this image like it's just... Maybe he always had like a birthmark on there. I just never noticed. Look at this guy. Future WWE champion. You know what? Maybe he should beat Roman Reigns. What do you think? Straight out of prison. Dominic wins the championship. You know, a thought just occurred to me. If WWE is bringing back the King and Queen of the Ring, we can have King Dominic and Queen Rhea. What do you think about that? King Dom. King Dom. Get it? Kingdom? Oh, see, that works. That works. I just thought of that. We can have King Dom and Queen Rhea. It could be the King and Queen of WWE. Look at this. We're booking the territory here. Oh, shit. That's right. Be the booker. Wait, where are we on the likes? I was having so much fun, I forgot. Oh, look at this. We smashed our goal. You guys have to remind me of these things. I completely forgot. Deep Delicious says May 3rd is just too sweet. I still don't know what you're talking about. Dr. Dakota Scorpio. Alexa will main event night one of WrestleMania as the champion. All right. Well, clearly you're still dipping into the leftover eggnog from Christmas. But you guys smashed the likes goal tonight. I thank you for that. Let's see if we can get all the way up to 500. But in the meantime, before it gets too late here, let's be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
Hey, Marcus Brown, thank you for the dollar. Man, I like that idea. I don't think that's a terrible idea. Kingdom, King Dom. I think that could work. Let's begin here with Men's Be the Booker. This is the, this technically is not the first, right? We did Be the Booker on the New Year's Eve stream after midnight, right? So this would be the second time that we are doing Be the Booker so far this year. And we begin with Bruce Pritchard. Brother Love. Not a good way to start. It's going to be Bruce Pritchard. One-on-one with Doink the Clown. You sure Bruce Pritchard isn't the clown? Bruce Pritchard and Doink the Clown. The great Doink the Clown, by the way. Back when he was evil, not the babyface version. Let's go to the women's side. And we begin with Nikki Bella, the host of Barmageddon, which I am shocked that show has not yet been canceled. But I believe tonight she had Sasha Banks on her show after Monday Night Raw. That was actually hilarious to me, watching commercials on Raw with Sasha Banks coming up on the show after Monday Night Raw. So we've got Nikki Bella. I mean, this is already going to be a fail. Nikki Bella one-on-one. Well, actually... Well. I speak it, and look at that. It becomes reality. Sasha Banks against Nikki Bella. And I give that the bell because of Sasha, because I know that it would be a great match. How about that? Perk Angle likes it. Look at that. Look at the look on his face. That's the look of a man who, according to his ex-wife, was making the rounds back in the day. But Perk Angle likes Sasha Banks against Nikki Bella. I'll bet he does. I'll bet he does. Let's break the tie. We got one bell. We got one buzzer. It all comes down to the tag teams. We begin with Jay and Mark, the Briscoe brothers, reigning Ring of Honor tag team champions, former House of Glory tag team champions. They just lost their titles a few weeks ago. banned from AEW television. It's going to be the Briscoes taking on Techno Team 2000. Not even the Briscoes can get me interested in that one. Good old Techno Team 2000. That was 1995. Yeah, there were some stinkers back then in 1995. Oh, me. Let's do a few more super chats here before we get out of here. Hey, Royal World just renewed their Sound Off Legend membership 5 months in a row. You're on a 5 month streak. The streak is alive. Thank you, Royal World. Justin Spencer with the $5 super chat. I made a 2023 prediction that Bliss would win the title. After tonight, it looks very possible, but I guess we'll see at Royal Rumble. What say you? Anything's possible. They're clearly working a storyline with Alexa Bliss. The fact that it's tied in with Bray Wyatt works to her advantage because Bray Wyatt is getting a big push. So if Alexa Bliss is going to be tied in some way, she could very well win the title. I would not take the championship from Bianca before WrestleMania. I think the match to do is Bianca and Rhea. And I would not do anything to interrupt that. So I don't like the idea. But is it possible? Yes. Yes, of course it's possible. Deep Delicious Chicken and Turkey. All right, May 3rd was the day that Bullet Club was born. Well, I wouldn't have known that. I wouldn't have known. Hey, Justin, thank you, brother. I'm glad that the stream looks good for you. Thank you. Sure it's not too light? Should I darken it? Or is it good? GCC305, May 3rd is 10 years of the formation of the Bullet Club. Thanks for the review tonight as I am at work overnights, as always. Well, you are very welcome. And no, I did not realize that May 3rd was the birthday of the Bullet Club. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, Dark Alexa against Super Charlotte, main event WrestleMania. Make that the first Be the Booker match. A four-way with Bruce, Doink, Braun, and Bully. And you've got yourself a clown show. That would be a clown show, yes. That would be a clown show. Bullet Club is a dollar store version of the NWO. I got news for you. Most heel factions have been dollar store versions of the NWO. Everyone's been trying to recreate the magic of the early NWO for 25 years, and they have failed. James Cooper has been a Sound Off legend for a full year. And he says that it's already been a year. Looking forward to many more. Thank you very much, James. I appreciate that. Very much. I do believe, and actually, yeah, I see it on yours. I think when you are a member, is it 6 months or a year? I can't remember, but you see the badges, you get upgraded. So the badges next to your names, they change to a different logo. So I think when you hit a year, it turns to something different, I believe. Fire Panda, I can't wait for August 1st. If you know, you know. See, that I know. See, that I know. May 3rd, I have no idea what that meant. August 1st, if you saw that moment, then you will never forget. Is that me in that image there? In your avatar? I believe it is. NWO was a dollar store version of the horse. No, it wasn't. What did the NWO and the Four Horsemen have in common? With the Four Horsemen, there were only five of them, right, if you include JJ. The NWO, it started out with three, and then it became half a dozen, then it was a dozen, then it was two dozen. And they invaded the company. That's not what the Horsemen were. Evolution was a modern-day version of the Four Horsemen. And I won't call Evolution a dollar store version of the Four Horsemen, because Evolution was a pretty good faction. But it was clearly a more modern takeoff of the Four Horsemen. The NWO, there really was, at least in the American promotions, because the NWO concept is something that Eric Bischoff lifted from something he saw in Japan. But in this country, I can't think of another faction pre-NWO where you would say the NWO was a copy or a dollar store version of them. You know, it was innovative for its time. That's why it worked. That's why it worked so well. Until it didn't. Because they ran it into the fucking ground. But for its time, if you grew up a wrestling fan or you were a wrestling fan during that period as I was, it was a fun time to be a fan, man. Miguel, should Art Barr be a topic on Dark Side of the Ring? I think he should be. The question is he a big enough name that they would want to devote an entire episode to him? But I would say yes. Aussie of Steel says, Fortune was a dollar store horseman. See, that I agree with. The Fortune faction from TNA, yes. That was a dollar store four horsemen. I guess you could say Main Event Mafia was kind of a takeoff of the horsemen too, though, right? Kind of. Devin from NJ, buy or sell, Evolution or The Shield? The Shield. Let's take one last look at the poll here. Again, you can vote at Solomonster is the place to go for all of the event polls that I post here. They go up on Twitter as soon as the event is over and right before I go live. So chime in and let me know what you guys thought of the first Monday Night Raw of 2023. And again, I'm very happy that you have chosen me for your Raw coverage. I hope you will continue to do so. We have more live streaming to do this week. We have a lot of stuff happening on Wednesday. We have SmackDown coming up on Friday. If you missed it, well over 2 hours, the new episode of The Sound Off, episode 789, went up yesterday, pushed out to all of your audio platforms. Please do check that out. And then next Sunday will be episode 790. As we begin what will eventually be our 16th year. I say our... You know, people ask me sometimes, why do you say we? An hour, right? You host the show by yourself. It's true. But I don't look at it that way. I've always looked at it as all of us. This is a community. This is all of us together. That's why it's we and us and our. It's not just me and I and mine. I'm not George the Animal Steel. I don't go walking around saying, mine, mine, mine. This is the collective we. So... we are beginning what will be year number 16 of the podcast, and I enjoy hanging out with you guys. So I'm going to be back with you on Wednesday. Thank you again. Be well. Stay safe. Happy New Year, and positive vibes and positive thoughts to Mr. Hamlin. And hopefully everything works out with the best possible ending for him, because that was a very scary thing that happened tonight. And it's a good reminder about how precious life can be. So I will see you guys back here on Wednesday.